Our scripture for this morning comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. If you're following along in the Red Bibles, it's on page 740. And it says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading and preaching and hearing of his holy word. We want to finish what we started last week in looking at the subject of lost things. You remember last week we looked at a lost sheep and a lost coin. Well, this week we are looking at a lost son. And the way that Jesus describes this and the details of this parable are slightly different. The approach to recovery is different. Last week, our main points were that something has been lost, a sheep and a coin. Someone has been searching. A man searches for the sheep, a woman searches for the coin. And that somewhere there is celebration. The man throws a party with his friends and neighbors. The woman throws a party with her friends and neighbors. The points this week are not quite the same. And see if you can sense the difference. The first point, someone has been lost. The younger son in this parable is called the lost son. But unlike the sheep and the coin, which gets misplaced, wanders off inadvertently, the younger son wanders off willfully. The younger son has a selfish spirit. He is interested in securing what he feels is his. Goes to his father and says, I know what the rules are of our custom, and I understand that my older brother gets 2/3 of your estate, and I get 1/3 of your estate when you pass it on to us. I would like mine now. And he's not even polite about it. Give me my share. Not can I have it, but give it to me. That which you would not give me until you die, give me now. I want our relationship to be over. And I want to go and live my life. The father says yes. And immediately the son collects up all that he has, including all that the father just gave him, and he goes to a faraway country. Because he is interested in satisfying his desires. And there, he squanders his life. Literally, it says he scatters his wealth until it is exhausted. We often think the prodigal son, prodigal is that, prodigal must mean that it returns. But prodigal doesn't mean that. Prodigal has the same Latin root as prodigy or prodigious, which means abundant. This son has an abundance that is exhausted. This abundance that is used. This prodigal son has everything and wastes it. And unlike the sheep, and unlike the coin, certainly the coin, probably the sheep, he becomes aware that he is lost. He becomes aware that he needs assistance. There is a severe famine in the land. And in that time and in that culture, when there is a famine, you helped those in need. You surrounded yourself with family and friends, and you did whatever was necessary to weather the storm. But he has no one. Jesus is clear in saying, but he had no one to assist him. And if we were to look at this passage with Eastern cultural eyes instead of Western cultural eyes, we would recognize that that is the gist of this parable. That he went off and he had no one to help him. And it's at that point that he gets to coming to his senses. The best he could do was to hire himself out as a pig farmer, which would have been socially repulsive and religiously unclean. And as the scriptures say, even that, even though he is a social outcast in a foreign land, even though he is religiously unclean by his own culture, he still doesn't have anything to eat. He's still hungry. He still wishes he could eat as well as the pigs eat. But he has no one to help. He is hungry and alone. And this selfish spirit breaks, and it becomes a sorrowing soul. At some point in our lives, when we are lost, we realize, hopefully, that we have made a mistake, that we have made an error in judgment, that we have lost our minds for a moment, and we come to our senses and we think of those who we have abandoned. In my Father's house, my Father is generous, providing abundantly for his workers. And my Father is reasonable. And perhaps he'll let me work for him. And so, coming to his senses, he comes up with a plan. I will go back. And I will say, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And I will say, I am no longer worthy of the relationship we had. But perhaps we could have a new relationship. The adjective lost can be defined as unable to find one's way or not knowing one's whereabouts. And that being lost can be incidental, like the sheep or the coin, or it can be intentional. And oftentimes we think of the lost son as being lost when he's in the pig farm. But really, that lost son was lost at his father's house. That lost son was unaware of his whereabouts when he was at his father's house. He did not know where he was going, and unable to find his own way when he was still at home, thinking he would do better on his own. He made the choice to be lost, unable to find his way. And now he is beginning to make some better choices. The second point, and this is where things get different than verses 1 through 10. Someone has been waiting. Last week we mentioned that someone has been searching. But this week, unlike the man, unlike the woman that lost the sheep and the coin, the father doesn't search. The father does not chase after the young son. He watches. He waits. He spends his time anticipating the return. And we know that because while the son is still a long way off, the father sees the son. Maybe it was Every hour he would look out onto the distant road. Maybe it was the entire time he was looking at the road. We don't know. All we know is that as the sun approaches, while he is still far off, which is interesting, Jesus' parable says he went to a far off country, a far off region, while he is still far off. The Father sees him. And what does he do? After running to him, he immediately hugs him and kisses him because, as Jesus says, he had compassion for his boy. Compassion means literally gut-wrenching, gut-twisting, a knot in your stomach, a pain in the pit of your stomach. He looks out and just his whole self convulses. And he wraps his arms around him and kisses him. See, the father doesn't chastise the younger son. He doesn't diminish him. He doesn't disparage him. He doesn't say, "You were an idiot." Just like the man, just like the woman, upon finding the lost sheep, upon finding the lost coin, the father picks the son up. He interrupts his son's prepared remarks before his son's remedy. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Hup! Get the robe, the ring, the sandals, because I am restoring my son to full honor. And immediately at that moment, everyone recognizes the son, this son of mine, is back. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8 say this: "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." There is no place that we can go that God cannot see us. In the high and lofty places, God sees us. In the low and dark places, God sees us. He is watching and he is waiting. And that moment when we make the first step of repentance, he is there to envelop us with his grace. And that leads us somewhere there is celebration. Just like the first two parts of these parables, the only response to restoration from Jesus' perspective is rejoicing. The father, like the man who found his sheep and like the woman who found his coin, calls for a feast among his household and neighbors. "Kill the fattened calf. Bring what has been reserved for a special occasion, and we will celebrate immediately." Because what happens? We know that the older brother is in the fields when the father goes out. And he is coming home, coming back from the house, from the fields to the house. And as he approaches the house, he hears music and dancing. Music and singing. Let me make sure I have it correct. No, he hears music and dancing. I don't know how you hear dancing, but he hears music and dancing. The party starts immediately. And the son isn't there. So the father requests that the whole household be in attendance. The one person missing, the father interrupts his celebration and goes out again. Doesn't say he runs, but he meets his son again where he is. Knows where he is, goes out to him, and pleads with him. To come in and celebrate. And the older son refuses. And the father, I can only speculate. The father uses his own words against him. Never have I disobeyed you. Well, you're disobeying me right now. Because I'm telling you, come in and celebrate. So do that. Everything I have is yours, including this son of mine. He's yours too. But it is necessary to rejoice. Not over this son of mine this time, the first time. Let us rejoice, for this son of mine was lost and is now found, was dead and lives again. But now we must rejoice and be glad. It is necessary for us to rejoice and be glad because this brother of yours, remember the relationship that we have one with another. It is necessary because he was lost and is now found. He was dead and now lives again. Every inhabitant of the Father's house is expected to celebrate the restoration of one who was lost. Now, Jesus doesn't tell us how the story ends. At the moment the parable ends, the father and the son are still outside the house. Does the older brother go in? Or does the older brother remain outside? What would you do if you were in the older brother's sandals? I hope you would, as always, obey the Father's order. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God watches and welcomes the one who once wandered away. God watches and welcomes the one who once wandered away. It's a lot of W's. And that is wonderfully good news. News that we ought to be glad to celebrate ourselves. Because we all have been or are currently the younger son, who willfully loses himself by his own desires and is restored at the moment of repentance. And we all, if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, are also the older son, called to rejoice, called to come into the Father's house and celebrate the sinner who has repented. The church is filled with reasons to rejoice. The church ought to be the happiest place on earth, because God watches and welcomes the one who once wandered away, just like us, welcomed back. May we be as faithful as this parable teaches. Shall we pray?